Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Welcome to the Happy Hour Garage, featuring a duo of racing gals who live for the thunder of horsepower, the smell of high-octane fuel, and burning rubber at 200 miles an hour. They believe a day at the Speedway is like a day at the spa. Together, they bring you NASCAR news and interviews and get you ready for the races each week. And now, here's your hosts, Shannon Yoakum and Maureen Kelly from the Happy Hour Garage.
Helen, start your engine.
Good morning from the Happy Hour Garage in beautiful British Columbia, where it's just barely 8 a.m., but I'm cranked full of coffee, and I've had some peanut butter and toast, so I'm ready to go. I am your host, Shannon Yoakum, and today I'm joined by not only my co-host, Maureen, but Buddy as well. Good morning, kids. How are you?
Great. It's a race weekend, so I'm good.
Yeah, good. Good morning, Buddy.
Good morning. Yeah, it's a little chilly. A little chilly here in the mountains, but
you know what's funny is I'm warmer than both of you, and I'm 3 hours back. So,
hey, that's okay. We have good weather coming up again. So
I shouldn't brag. We've had snow 3 days in a row, which was just caused chaos on our highways. They're all shut down, and avalanches are happening all over the place, and then by 11, 12 o'clock, it's all melted and the sun's out again, so we're in some kind of weird, freaky weather.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh well, such is life. I'm pretty excited about our next guest today. I can hardly wait to talk to him. We have some friends in common, which we just recently discovered, which is kind of cool. It's a small world. Please welcome to the show Todd Younger, who's the Director of Business Development for Levine Family Racing, number 95 of Michael McDowell. Good morning, Todd. How are you doing?
Great, good. How are you doing this morning, Shannon? Hi, everybody.
I'm doing great. Boy, you guys had quite a weekend last weekend, man. If you hadn't run out of gas, holy, who would have known, eh?
I know. It's one of those things that if you'd asked me, if you would have said going into the weekend, if you finished 15th, would you be happy with that? I would have said, well, you know, that's a fair run.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch the race and you saw the where we were running all day, top five, top ten most of the day,
mm-hmm.
To finish 15th was really sort of a punch in the gut.
It was.
But as you saw, a lot of people ran out of gas at the end. But boy, when you're flirting in Daytona and you've got an opportunity to finish in the top five and dare I say, you know, flirt with the number one spot at Daytona, to be that close and to see it and then run out of gas at the end is certainly a heartbreaker.
It was, and you guys, you know, I had you guys in my fantasy picks because Michael runs great on restrictor plate tracks. I mean, he's totally awesome at road courses as well, of course. But you know, Daytona is a great equalizer, and anybody can win. And I had you guys in my FRL picks, and it was like, oh no, they ran out of gas. I am now in last place.
No, I'm sorry about that. Sorry, no. We couldn't help you there.
Let's not do that again.
Great run. You know, a lot of us were commenting on our race thread all during that race. He had a great run. Car looked great. I mean, it's unusual for a car to look as great as his did as well at the end of that race. So kudos to him.
It didn't look, it was in the shop here. It's in the shop now, and it really, compared to some of the other people in that race, it really didn't look too bad. It's got some right side damage from, we got it so close to a couple of those incidents.
Mm-hmm.
We took the, which car was it? We took it right in the right side door, which gave us a little bit of issue for the weekend, or for Sunday. But other than that, we got out pretty clean. And other than the fuel issue at the end, we certainly were real optimistic about where it was running. And you know, it's not by accident. We put a lot of time, the guys in the shop put a lot of time and effort into running super speedways and road courses, as you said, Shannon.
Yeah. How's Todd Parrott and Michael, how's the relationship building there?
It's going really well. They trust each other immensely. It's been great. I've been in and around this team for a long time now, and I don't know if I've ever seen a group that has gelled so well together. You know, Todd with his experience and Michael with his experience, they speak the same language. I think they have a lot of trust in each other, which has been great. And then we added Doug Campbell, our spotter. If you get a chance to listen to him during races, he's fantastic. And the three of them work really well together, speak in the same language, and transition to each other really quickly.
Oh, that's good. I mean, the team has gone through some craziness in the last little while. It's nice you're back in your own shop and your computers are all clean. I noticed you're sponsored by Malware Bytes. I use them too. I always have. They're awesome. Could you tell us a little bit about the fire and the Malware Bytes thing?
Yeah, so I guess it was, what was it, 2015 now. We had, of course, we had the fire. And, you know, it really was a turning point for us. It was a time where our ownership, we have great ownership in Bob Levine and Tom and Matt. And Bob sort of said, it was sort of that point where I said, okay, we're in this or we're not in this. You know, and to his credit, and I appreciate the fact that he said, okay, we're in this and we're going to do this. We're going to do it right. We're going to be first class. And he bought the building out of that and said, you know, we went to first rate equipment. And then, as you know, bought the charter eventually last year. And it gave us an opportunity to play, you know, to really play in the game. And then, of course, then, you know, you spin up some Malware Bytes, as you said, last year with the hacking incident, and took another, what could have been a negative, and turned it into a positive. The team here did an excellent job of turning that into a sponsorship. And it all, you know, we've made news a couple of times for those things, and sort of people associate us with that for necessarily not so good reasons. But both of them have turned out to be extremely positive for our team and have been launching points to put us in the right direction.
Hey, what doesn't break you makes you stronger, right?
Absolutely.
It's genuinely true. For us, it has been genuinely true, and it's bonded us together as a team. And it's given us a more passionate direction than what we had before.
It is, and I mean, those are two crazy things. I mean, there's been a lot going on that lots of people don't know, but we don't need to talk about some of that. But it's nice to see you guys back in the game again, full throttle. I mean, that to me is terrific.
Yeah. This is a big year for us. There's no doubt about it. We have we're a charter team now.
That's a great one.
Yeah, we spent the money on a charter. We're going to be in there all races, and with Michael. And this is it. We're at the dance. We've been asking to be invited for a long time, and it's here. So now it's back on our shoulders to make it happen.
And it will. I mean, when you can race all 36 races and there's consistency week after week after week after week and you're building the team, it's going to show in the results on the track. And Michael's a hell of a driver.
He is.
Yeah, he certainly is. He can drive. He's an experienced driver. As we learned last year at Road America, and he won the Xfinity race, he can drive. If we can put the equipment underneath him to be able to drive, we did it this weekend, or last weekend. We put the right equipment underneath him to be able to drive, and I think you're gonna see a lot of noise from us in super speedways and road courses. We know those are our number one and number two priorities. We don't want to luck into anything. Certainly, a win's a win's a win, right? We take one
right,
and we luck into it. but you know, to earn one, this team has worked too hard to not go out there, race our way to the front, stay in the front, and drive it into victory lane because everybody's worked so hard.
You know what I was thinking about last night when I knew, you know, that we were going to have a chance to interview you? My biggest fear for your company was that you were going to add a second team this year. I so admire the fact that you didn't. That you just stick with that one team and that commitment because you have the charter. Did the team talk at all about adding another car for the season?
Yes, we did, actually. We talked about adding another car. For us, it was a financial decision. The cost to add a second team, obviously, it's not as expensive to run a second team as it is to run the first team. So if you can find enough sponsorship and you can find enough dollars to put that second car in or try and get a second car into Daytona, we would have tried to get that. But we have one car right now. It's our primary car. It's our main focus. Sponsorship dollars fill up. Your cost to add a second team isn't so bad. And then you get all the benefits that come with it. Obviously, you have a teammate. You have more information that's being shared. We've got a great alliance with RCR. So we do share a lot of information amongst those guys and on the track can partner with them a little bit. But it's certainly from a sponsorship and a business development perspective, I'd love to say we have, two cars. It sort of brings you full, makes you appear like a much more stronger team. But at the end of the day, we got one car and we can still drive it to victory lane with that.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly think concentrating on this one car, I think in my mind, I'm thinking you guys with the Alliance will have a really good season this year. I mean, what is a good season for you? Where do you want to see, Michael?
I want my personal, I would love to see, I want one victory. I'm not going to be shy about that. I think that our team wants one victory. We feel like we've got the right equipment. We feel like we've got the right driver. We can put that car in victory lane. A good season for certainly, I love the stages. I'm a big fan of the stages now, the changes that have been put on. I've been listening to your podcast, and you all have been talking about that. A segment victory.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Right?
A segment victory. If we can knock off, if on our board we've got, we finish in the top 20 in points, you've got a segment victory, and you've got a victory.
You're in the chase.
We can accomplish those three things. Yeah, we're in the chase. If you can accomplish those three things, that's an ideal season for us.
Well, if you make the chase or win a victory or a stage, you're going to bring all kinds of attention to you. I mean, and attention brings sponsor dollars. Mm-hmm. Sponsor dollars brings better this's and that's for your car. And, you know, it's like a snowball rolling down a hill. Pardon the Canadian pun there.
It is. There's no doubt. Our owner, Bob Levine, always says, he says, speed buys money and money buys speed.
Exactly.
And it's certainly, there's no doubt it's expensive to do this. It takes money to run up there to the front, but you know what's funny to me about this sport is that to run in 25th spot to jump to 10th is such a big expense. And it's a consistently big expense, but there's still no guarantees that if he gives me $10 million more that I'm going to consistently be in the top 10. I mean, look at, you know, the 20 car was last.
Yes.
This one, you know, at Daytona, he was finished 40th, and I bet you they spent a ton more money than what we did.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, even the big boys say that it's hard to win a race. And you know, there's only 36 of them, and there's 40 drivers, so you're all not going to win a race. And it's not like, oh, you haven't won yet, it's your turn. I mean, everybody's trying their hardest to win those things, and I mean, it's so important these days, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is, and it's picking it for us. I think the difference is, you know, the big boys, they're going to go out and they're going to consistently strive to win every single week.
Oh yeah.
And if I'm sitting here telling you that we expect to win every single week, I'm not being honest. No. I'm telling you that we want to be competitive every single week. Atlanta, you know, this week, so the mile and a half tracks. I'm going to tell you, our focus and our goal is to be competitive and to get great brand recognition for our sponsors out that week and to have great events. But if we won at a mile and a half, it's probably because something wacky happened. But I'm telling you, if we're talking before Daytona, Talladega, right, some of the super speedways, Watkins Glen, Sonoma, you know, then I'm going to tell you that we expect to be up front and we expect to be able to win those types of races.
I expect you guys to win one of those road courses for sure. Oh, probably Watkins Glen.
I agree.
I'm going to pick you in there to win for that one for sure.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Hopefully, we'll be able to do a little better in your poll that week.
Yeah, I got to get back up in the top here. I run the FRL. It's not right if I'm in the bottom. But Daytona is always a crapshoot, and you never know what's going to happen at Daytona. I mean, it was crazy race, and we talked about this a little bit last week with Trent Owens, and it was a nutty race. It was just crazy. Everybody was so cranked up to get the season going. I mean, it was apparent in all three series that everybody was ready to go racing.
Yeah, it was. And you know what was? But you know what was exciting to me is that, and you all have been around this sport a long time. I felt an energy in the garage, and in the driver's meeting, and just around the area in general, that I haven't felt in a long time. I think it was, I don't know if it was the rule changes, I don't know if it's bringing Monster Energy in as a new sponsor, but there was an energy there that we have not felt in a long time, and I really think like that's gonna carry us through and show some better racing and some better everything in the, you know, better attendance, better viewership, everything that comes along with that, it's going to show in all the numbers coming up this year.
You know, I think you're right. And Maureen and Buddy, I think will agree with me too, that it seemed like that from the fan perspective as well. It seemed like the season, off season, was longer than usual, and it was, when it finally got here, everybody was so cranked up to get going. It was just a buildup of excitement.
Yeah. Yeah, Fox did a really nice job of promoting the race, I think, more than what they have in the past.
Yes.
There's a lot of TV build up for that. Mm-hmm. So that was obviously resulted in, I know, overnight our ratings. The ratings were up 7% over last year. Mm-hmm. That was certainly that's good for the sport. That's good for the sport overall. But you know, it's just the energy that was in there. It was hard to put a finger on, but it was there. It certainly was there this last weekend at Daytona.
Oh, absolutely. Even on our race thread, and there were over 1,000 comments I'm not sure if it was the same during the truck race, but it was high, maybe 600 comments. That's people chatting all during the race. That's the one thing that I think the biggest difference this year that we're going to see with the intervals is that people will pay attention the whole race.
Yeah, no more naps.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's seriously.
Oh, wait, we do. We both nap during those long middle spells of a race where people are riding around. Who doesn't?
During the Xfinity races, we did.
It's funny because my wife has always told me that even before I was in the sport, like, it would do that. I'd take the naps during the middle of the race, and it was that the sound. It's the sound is like, yes, my lullaby.
Exactly.
That sound of that roar.
We're weird,
it's
aren't
true.
We?
Oh.
Nobody else would say I nap.
You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't drop out of a college basketball game like that, right?
No.
It would be
right.
Unheard of. You'd wake up and I'd be like, oh, huh? Dear God, how is Kentucky losing? You know, you can't do that, but you could do that in an Xfinity race, let's be honest.
Oh, God.
But the racing last weekend, all the way through, trucks, Xfinity, Monster, every race was great. I wouldn't have dropped out of any one of them.
Nope, I didn't have any sleepy moments, none.
Well, it gave you something. It gave you long enough intervals to not take to get comfortable and settle in, but not long enough that you couldn't take a nap.
No,
right. So you kept it. It's 60 laps was perfect. It was just long enough to. I thought the rule changes brought a great strategy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw the cars coming in right away. I think it was lap 18 or something to that effect. They started rolling in. That the mental side of this and the strategy side played out way better than I think maybe than they even expected it to. That made for great television. It made for great television and ultimately great racing.
Right.
Yep, it did. And you could feel the energy with five laps to go before each segment, that, you know, Twitter was going crazy, our race ride was going crazy, the sounds on the radio. I was, Maureen and I were listening to various drivers throughout the race, and you could really feel it. And you know, that that brings me to a question is, have you guys sat down and tried to analyze how to figure out how to win segments? I mean, this has got to be kind of tricky. Do you pit right before? You know, it depends on the track and how many laps there is to go. Like, that in itself is a whole strategy game.
It is, and we went into it with, every week, is, as you know, is different.
Mm-hmm.
We sat down before Daytona, and we did sit down, and, you know, we weren't playing a game. We were going to race our way up to the front. We were going to take it as it came. We're going to race our way through the race just like we, I quote, normally would, with the segments in place. Now, as it goes through the season, and if we are, you know, this week in Atlanta, or some of the shorter tracks, a mile and a half, and we can stay out a little bit longer and snatch a segment win, and come back in, and maybe we put ourselves in a little tougher spot going into for the long term, we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we're going to do that. We're not going to give up the race to be able to win a segment, but if a segment is within our grasp, or those bonus points are within our grasp, we're going to take advantage of that and try and get those things as we can. So yeah, it's definitely a discussion that comes through. It comes through as we're practicing for the weekend and how the car's reacting and how Michael feels. And then sort of as it plays out, that's one of the great things about having Todd Parrott on our pit box now this year, and the end of last year and this year, is that he's been around the sport a long time. He knows, we have every confidence in him that he knows when to snatch that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to say when you're going into a race, here's our plan, and then as soon as the green flag drops, your plan can go out the window. So he's great at making those adjustments on the fly.
I have a question about the we've noticed that Pocono, Martinsville, Watkins Glen, and I'm not sure, maybe another one, have all announced same-day qualifying and race. How good of a cost-cutting move is that, especially for a smaller budget team such as you all?
You know, certainly it helps. It certainly helps save costs. It certainly is one less day that you have to travel, everybody. So that does help save, right? I like the tire rule this year, the limiting the numbers of tires, the number of sets of tires you can use, that certainly helps. The 5-minute rule helps us as well, which is funny because Bob tells a story. We spent the money, which, you know, it's six figures to buy a crash cart,
mm-hmm.
and finally spent the money, went out and got it, and then they changed that rule, that you know, 5-minute rule. So you're like, oh man, of course. You finally go get on board with that, and then that's what happens. But whether it's the one, I think that's a great for the fan. That's a great add-in for the fan, because the fan who pays their money, it's expensive to take a family of four to a race, but they get a real value for their dollar now. They get a day show, and so that really helps the tracks a lot. It saves us money, but certainly from a fan experience, it gives them a lot more. I think all of these rule changes, as you're saying, buddy, the rule changes we've been nothing but supportive of. We're happy with them. They've helped us. They certainly have helped us along the way. So we're nothing but supportive of, again, giving us winning opportunities, and cost saving our costs is great for us. So we couldn't be happier right now, really.
You guys are in a good place, I think. You know, you've got your charter, you've got a good driver, you got a rules that help some of these lower budget teams to compete against those Munster, Hendricks, and SHR teams and Penske's. You're now competitive with them and can be with the segments, and the fact that 5-minute clock, I want to talk about that for just a second, is no more will we have cars ripping around the track with pieces falling off, and the drivers were the ones who wanted this more than anybody. So I think that's a good rule. It's taken a while to sort of process the segments and that new rule and the lower downforce package and the tires. And I think the next four or five races are really going to have this come into play, and people are starting to run the races backwards. like a road course, which is interesting. It appeals to my brain part of my, not the testosterone if I had that, you know, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It appeals
yep.
to both sides, and I find it really intriguing.
Yeah, I think they'll make some tweaks to the 5-minute rule. There certainly has been enough. As you said, that was something that the drivers wanted. NASCAR's really good about putting in rules and then adjusting to, after you see it play out a little bit, they make the right adjustments. So I think there'll be some tweak to the 5-minute rule along the way. But, you know, and it's certainly from a sponsorship perspective, look, it's really difficult to, you know, the 88 car, for instance, when he went out, he could have returned for Nationwide not to get that exposure on the track for another hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans want to see him. You know, the fans want to see Dale running around there, even if he's not necessarily terribly competitive or he's 5 laps down. They still want to see that. So there has to be some sort of a balance between the two. You can't put a car out there. We've seen too many cars that go out there and a piece falls off, and all of a sudden they've got a, you know, they're messing up the what could be a good finish.
Right.
Right. But there's some sort of happy medium in there that's going to make a sponsor happy, that's going to make a driver happy, and it's going to make the fan happy ultimately.
Mm, absolutely. And that actually leads me to a question. I want to talk about you for a minute and your history and what you actually do at Levine and stuff like that. Now, you tell us, I have it all standing here right in front of me, but you tell us how you started out. Because you're from...
Oh, I want you to tell me that, Shannon. You tell me.
I mean, you're just from a little old town in Ohio, and as your brother said, hey, we got a famous guy from Ohio.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I'm from a small town. I don't think there's but 7,000 people in the town that I grew up in when I was in high school. I mean, I went to high school with 180 people. You know,
oh,
it was
yeah,
really
yeah.
small.
That's more than me.
But, it, you know, I was in the... I came up... Really, I was a high school teacher right out of college and athletic director, and then I went on to Division I athletics to be the marketing manager for Bowling Green State University. It's another little small Division I college in Northwest Ohio, and worked my way up through minor league baseball and hockey, and was with the Detroit Lions for years in the NFL, and made my way through the NFL, and then. Was down in Carolina with the Carolina Hurricanes. My family had made our way down there, made the move, and the call came in. I wasn't at the Hurricanes for terribly long; it was less than a year. And the call came in, and recruiters had been around and said, "I said, look, I'm in North Carolina. You know, our family is, as you indicated, you know, we've been going to races for." Since I was 10 years old. I mean, we were at Michigan was our home track, and I think we counted 18 years in a row. We at least saw one race at Michigan for 18 years in a row. That was our thing as a family. And I said, hey, if I can ever get into that from a business side of it, you know, let me know. And 2 years later, they made the call, and I jumped at the chance and I met Bob Levine and Jeremy Lang, our vice president, and met with those guys and was able to come into something when it was growing. And it was, you know, when I started here, we were a start and park team. We might race some races and we might start and park some other ones, and built its way up to a full-time charter team now, and we're ready to go. So it's sort of sort of a luck, right? I've worked hard along the way.
No, it doesn't sound like luck to me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, nah.
Sounds like you put yourself in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And I enjoy this business now. I enjoy this business. I enjoy the sponsorship business. I enjoy, you know, we had two guests at Daytona, two different guests, and several of the guests had never been to a race before.
Mm, exciting.
And yeah, it was, and just that's the best part of the job.
It is.
It's to bring people to a track and open their eyes, and, you know, they can hear it and see everything we know, the four of us know about this sport, about what it's like and what it's like to experience it, to be able to bring it to new folks and open their eyes to the not just being a fan. I think that's a secondary thing, that if we can build fans, it's only going to help all of us
right.
at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But they open up their eyes to the marketing potential and the business side of the sport as well. And it's not just names on cars. That's certainly what everybody sees on television, but it's not just that. It's all of the other things that go into it. So the funny thing was that Saturday night of Daytona, we're out with our guests as a potential sponsor, and we're out there, and we're talking about movies and just, shooting the bull back and forth. And he says his favorite actor is Keanu Reeves. And then it's no kidding, the next morning we're in the driver's meeting and we're standing right next to Keanu Reeves. And it's just like...
How cool is that?
Yeah, it was just, from a sponsorship perspective, that's how you dream of it.
It doesn't get better than that.
Right.
we had no idea he was going to be there. I mean, it was not planned. It was just completely by accident. He says, oh, that's my favorite one. And then the next day you're standing next to him. So it really gave him the idea of what the power of the platform and NASCAR really is. And, people sort of go NASCAR, and then they get their experience it, and they go, oh, okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
Right, now
you
I understand.
Have to experience it at the track. It's the most amazing thing. It's for people who don't follow the sport. If they go to the track just once, I don't know how they can say I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I've never brought somebody to a track who has not walked out of there with a newfound respect for what the sport is.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be everyday fans like we are and every Sunday fans, but they're going to certainly tune it in for a little while. They're going to check to see who won, and they're going to start watching it from a different perspective. Television, it's just one of those sports that transitions television. I love watching on TV because you get so much more of the insights, and you can get so much more of what's going on behind the scenes, and sometimes keep up with who's in what position. But there's nothing that can translate that sight, that sound, that smell,
mm-hmm.
like being out there on a Sunday.
Mm. Yeah. Can I ask you what is your weekend like? Are you going to Atlanta?
I am not going to Atlanta.
No.
I am.
Okay.
We have enough staff that we sort of rotate through the races. I'm going to take the opportunity to go home and see my family, which would be great. I have a wife and two kids, and I live in Concord during the week, and then my family still lives in Raleigh. So I'll go home and see the kids one of the weekends I can, but then, because then I'm off to Vegas and then off to Phoenix and making the circuit there. But my weekends typically are, we leave on Thursdays. We would typically have our guests fly in on Friday. We'll do dinner on Friday, sponsorship dinners on Fridays. A lot of times there'll be events on Saturday or in-market things where we have to go out to see somebody, take Michael out or take the mm-hmm. car out or do some in-market type of visits. And then Sundays we will typically start early and have guests, the sponsors, our guests come into the track, do, tours and see everything and show everybody everything and meet with Michael, sit down and do, some driver appearances and then it's race time. So then fly back out that night. So they're pretty action-packed weekends, pretty full. My job certainly centers around entertaining clients, entertaining potential sponsors, either existing sponsors or potential sponsors all weekend long. That's my number one job. So it's a great job. At Daytona, your days start at 8 a.m. with breakfast with your clients, and usually by the time you got through out of the track and wrapped up dinner and everything else, it's 11 or 12 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's a long day, but a fun one. You must be just exhausted.
I'm not taking dishes. My hands aren't sore at the end of the day, right? I don't have calluses on my hands by any means.
I don't know, but if you ever need somebody to sub for you, I'm good at that kind
all right,
of stuff.
All right, I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that.
A lot of people don't realize how much, and I'll call it schmoozing, you have to do. That's all part of your job. And you made a good point there. I remember when I took my husband to his first race, when I first met him, I said, there's two things you got to like, cats and race cars, because that's all I'm about. I don't care about anything else. And he said, well, I've never had a cat and I've never been to a race. I said, oh, okay. So the first race I take him to is Daytona. And he's sitting there in the seat, and we're on the back stretch when they had seats back there. And as the cars are coming around turn one and two, you could feel the buildup of the motors, and then they go whizzing by you. He looks over at me, and his eyes are big as a toonie. I mean, holy cow, the look on his face, I will never forget that as long as I live.
Yeah. And you know what? That's the great thing about our sport, is that response that your husband gave is exactly what happens every time somebody first walks into it. It's getting them out there. Our number one goal as a sponsorship is getting people to the track. We don't typically try and sell anything until they've been out to experience it. Mm-hmm. My whole job when I talk to somebody is to say, look, let me get you out to a race. Don't worry about anything else. Pick a weekend. I need you to get you there first. And essentially, to some extent, from a sponsorship perspective, it sells itself a lot of ways. But we even had, we had some of the guys from the Orlando Magic in our pit box. And these guys are professional NBA athletes who have seen the top of everything. And they came around off turn four and got lit up, and then they came around after the first lap. They did exactly what your husband did, which is they had big eyes, and they realized how fast this was and how loud this was. And it's the same response you get even from other professional athletes.
And how cool
so
is that?
So cool. Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it was funny. So my kids have, obviously, I've been in, like you said, I've got pictures of my kids and professional athletes' laps, and they've met them, and it doesn't phase them anymore. And so my son, telling them all about all the stars we saw at the driver's meeting and all of these different athletes and everything else and all these different things they get to do, and the only thing he really cared about was what basketball players were in our pit box that weekend. I thought that's all he wanted to talk about. I'm like, well, this is your dad gets to do this with the cars. What about the cars? Remember the cars? He's like, yeah, but what about the guys playing in the NBA that are there too? So
yeah.
You know, it's what you get, right?
Well, he comes by it honestly. I mean, you've been a sports guy your whole life, right? If your kids weren't, it would surprise me.
Yeah. It's funny because my other one is like, my kids, one would love to loves to be around it, loves to do everything with it. And the other one is like, where did you go this weekend? What did you do? I forgot. What do you do for a living?
That's funny.
It's not all in the blood. There's nothing you can do to force all that stuff. I have a daughter who, now she does like racing, but not NASCAR. NHRA, it would be her deal. But as far as any other sports, I don't miss a basketball, mostly college basketball game. I don't miss a game. And she'll sit there and say, when's this going to be over?
I'm with her on that one.
I know you are. You know, but in football, the same way. But, you know, you can't account for it. It's not all in the blood for them.
No,
it isn't. It isn't. No. They're going to be there. He's the one who's going to be. I have one who wants to drive the car, and the other one is going to. He's going to build it. He's going to be the mechanic on it.
Job pays just as well, and you probably it's easier to hang on to a job in that area.
That's true. You're right. It's easier than finding the driving job. That's for sure.
Oh God, yeah.
I always tease him. I said, "What's the old saying? I have two boys. One's going to be a lawyer. One's going to need a lawyer. I'm just not sure which one's which yet." That's exactly what I've got right now.
Oh, you poor thing. Tell us a little bit about your brother's team in Younger Motorsports. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really funny how it's all the way down through our family. He raced for the longest time. You know, he got the driver gene, and I got the business end gene. And he has been driving in the ARCA Truck Series for years and years and years, and has done a great job of the driving part of it. And then ARCA went out of business, this summer. It sort of threw everything into a loop really quick, and it made him sort of adjust on the fly. And through, I know, some evaluations, some discussions we had, he decided to get on the modified side, and which I'm a big fan of that as well. I think that sport's great to watch as well.
Mm.
And so, you know, Dad's barn is filled up with cars and parts, and you know, we're fortunate to have a father who's supportive of all of that side and gives us space to work on the cars and everything else. I do wish, you know, Brad is still up in Ohio and racing there. I wish I was able to be more of a part for him and help him out more than I can from North Carolina. But, you know, he's real busy on that side of it and everything else. And then, of course, obviously, as you know, the NASCAR season never stops down here as well. So it's certainly in our family blood, and he's done a great job of filling a driver's seat and enjoys that a lot.
I enjoyed his their little competition on Twitter there with the Power Skiff guys. You know, which paint scheme do you like? Which driver suit do you like? And lots of people were responding to that, and it was good. It's a great way to engage fans and get them to know what you're all about.
Yeah, he does a really good job of the social media end of it. I've been forced to join that social media world and get on Twitter you know, it's part of our business these days to be on Twitter and to follow businesses and sponsorship, and you have to have that digital presence. He's fantastic at that organic side of it and is much more fluent at it and everything else than I have ever been. So I do tend to learn a lot from him, watching him do those types of things on online as well.
Did NASCAR say to all the teams this year to have more of a presence on social media? I mean, I'm seeing more than ever before.
There was never a mandate that came down, but we certainly discuss it. Every year in January we have a marketing meeting with NASCAR and all the teams, and it's certainly part of our discussion is having that digital and that digital presence. Interacting with fans that's the beauty of social media, is that they can interact with fans directly, right? Drivers can interact with their fans directly. I've gotten to meet and talk to so many fans on social media now than I ever have before. For us, with having Michael, is I don't ever have to worry about what Michael's going to say on social media or what the social medias are going to be about with Michael.
Right.
Michael's fantastic. Michael's a fantastic human being. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever have to worry about that. Being in other sports sometimes, I always worried about if somebody had a, you know, Twitter in their hand, what they were going to say. But I don't have to worry about that with him. But
no.
NASCAR didn't necessarily mandate it, but it certainly it's somewhere we all have to be these days. All of our clients want a social media presence. They want to be connected, and so we have to be a part of that.
And it's gone through such a transition. I mean, I remember when Twitter first came about. I think it was Denny Hamlin was quite active on there, got into all kinds of trouble. And then all the drivers got tired of the fans being such jerks, and they went away. And now they seem to be all back again. And I did the same thing with Twitter, too. I got tired of all the guys in their basement in their pajamas just being jerks. You know, come on. You know, there's no... And as a Canadian, it's really hard for me to be mean.
Everybody's so nice up there, right?
We are. And that is not an anomaly. We are actually nice. And it's hard for me to bypass those tweets without getting angry and saying something. You know, it's hard for me to go away. So I just stopped on Twitter for the longest time and went over to Facebook, and actually that's where I met Maureen a million years ago, and she was, I think, my very first friend on Facebook, and now Facebook's, you know, people are going back to Twitter, and I mean, Dale Jr. lights up my phone when I'm at work all day long with his tweets, yet other drivers are really more intense on Facebook, so it's kind of like both, and the fans, you know, I don't know how some of them handle all that crap they get from fans. Like last night, Mark Martin went on a rant on Twitter. And when Mark Martin or somebody famous does something like that, it gets noticed. And it was very bizarre. I liked his wife's tweet this morning. Oh, he must have had fun tonight, last night, judging by my tweets this morning.
Well, it's one of those love-hate things. And what I always try to do, and talked when we were talking to Michael about it or whatever it is, because, you know, if we had an issue, I don't remember what race it was last year off the top of my head, but he blew a tire and it caused some issues at the end of the race. And of course, then Twitter lights up with some, as you were just saying, some viciousness. And it's really, you could see sometimes, especially for some guy like Michael, who is only trying to do his best in the world. When you get people like that, I'm not going to say it doesn't take a toll on him, because it does. But the thing we just all have to, you know, just remember is if they're tweeting about it, if you're putting energy and effort and thought into it, that's putting energy, effort, and thought into your sport, into being a fan. Mm-hmm. And if they're not doing anything, I'm more concerned than if they're being angry.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're right. Any kind of attention is better than none.
Yeah, any kind of effort and energy and enthusiasm, any sort of energy that they're putting into it is better than no energy at all. I'll take anybody who wants to, you know, is active. Maybe they're negative active. I take that over somebody who just turns their Twitter off and doesn't talk to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're engaging in it with us. They're engaging in the sport with us.
That's true.
So if I have to look at it from a positive side, that's what I try to do.
He's so easy to follow. He has great insight into things. When he breaks down a race, or even when he breaks down somebody else's race, he puts a lot of thought into it, you know. He's fun to follow. He's one of those guys that's fun to follow. You're never going to hear him cuss up somebody on Twitter.
No,
not at all.
He doesn't. He's genuine about that. He's genuine with the other drivers. I don't think you'll find a guy in the garage who's more just genuinely well liked by everybody else, by the other drivers.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a genuine, decent person. I have zero hesitations at all when I say, Michael, we need to go out and talk to these people, or we need to go meet with this. He doesn't ever say no. He doesn't ever question what I'm doing. He may not love it, right? Certainly when I call him and say we need to do an appearance at 6 o'clock and go to dinner, and he'd rather have dinner with his Jamie, his wife, and kids. But he knows that's part of the deal. That's part of the sport. And he does it puts a smile on his face and goes and does it.
Yeah. Well, you know, he knows how important it is, because you guys struggled for a couple of years trying to get those sponsors, you know, and trying to run the full schedule and all that. And, you know, it's nice this year, to have the charter, not have to worry about getting into a race. Will I make it? You know, I mean, like, to be able to be there at the end of the season, you know, and say, hey, you know, we put in the whole thing, and maybe we're going to make that, you know, that top 16. But, I mean, we have a shot this year. That's important, you know.
Absolutely. That's absolutely important. To be able to sit down with potential sponsors or sponsors or fans and sit down and say, look, you know, we intend to be there at the end of the year.
Right.
That tells the sponsor, it tells the business side, from the business side of things, allows people to make that investment in your team, knowing that you're going to be there, knowing that it's not a gamble with their money. With it, to the end of the day, that's the biggest thing about it.
Yeah.
Is Michael going to run any Xfinity or truck races or anything like that other than the Cup?
I don't see anything on his Xfinity schedule as of right now. That doesn't mean he won't, but I just haven't seen anything cross my desk yet that he, you know, that he's been asked to do. It's, you know, we really like to have him on every week now that we have him every week.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to have him focus on that, but certainly you know, some of the road courses, I'm sure that, you know, the Road Americas, again, the Xfinities, again, his skills and expertise line up with that so well that some other team's going to ping him out for that again.
Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if he'd come up here and race in Canadian Tire Motorsports Park again. And I mean, that's like 3,000 miles from me, but maybe I could get there.
That's like nothing for you guys up there, isn't it? 3,000 miles is another trip.
Exactly. Yeah.
We got to go grocery stores 2,000 miles, so we're okay.
That's right. I'll just hook up the dogs to the sled and I'll be right there.
That's right. That's right. Snowmobile in June.
That's right. Oh, that's funny. Well, we'll have to definitely come down and say hi. Buddy, I'm coming down to Bristol this year. I usually try and go to one race. If I can afford it, I go to two, but right now my Canadian buck is sitting at 75 cents on your dollar, so it's a little expensive to go, but I managed to get a ticket together to come down and see Buddy, and we're going to go to the Bristol race in April, so maybe if we get into the garage somehow, we'll come down and say hi. Are you going to be there?
Oh, yeah, I'll be in Bristol. Don't miss that one. So, absolutely, you guys come down. Let's make it a point to talk before, and we'll make it a point to visit while we're in the garage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's going to be fun, and we're excited, because Buddy and I have never met. Well, neither has Maureen and I, but
no.
Maureen and I have been doing this show for years and years, and we got Buddy on last year, who has been very helpful to us, and he keeps us organized and does all the things, because I work full-time, so it's difficult for me to do anything, and he's a great, so I'm really looking forward to that.
That's one of the strange things about social media. I've known Maureen and Shannon now for about a year and a half, and I feel like I know them, you know, but I've never actually met them face to face.
It is the amazing part of technology, and it's the amazing part that keeps everybody together, and really using it on the sports side. Brought you all three together, and you've never met, but it's been the technology combined with the sport has formed some relationships. That's good.
Well, you know, I always said, I mean, way up here where I am, NASCAR is, I'm kind of an oddity. You know, NASCAR is an American thing right back in the day, and people used to say to me, you like what? You know, and I'm, you know, in my 50s, so now, and this was way back when, you like what? NASCAR? And now I've managed to hook a few people at my work and here and there, and I have my little happy hour garage sticker on the back of my truck, and sometimes people will stop me in a parking lot and ask me what that is and stuff like that. So it's all fun. I mean, it for me, it gives me companions all over the country that actually speak my language.
Yeah, and they say A now? Are they speaking your A language?
They do occasionally.
Todd, she even types it.
Yeah.
She even types it.
Well, I don't know if you could have gotten the variety between the A and the in the Tennessee mountains down there, and then over in Pennsylvania and everything else. You brought all three areas together.
Oh, yeah, Maureen has her own language, too. I mean, oh, gosh. It's funny as all get out, but yeah, we
they
have a great time.
They make fun of it.
Well, we really appreciate you coming down on, and if you don't mind hanging out for a minute after the show, but it's been fun, and we wish nothing but the best for you guys, and we'll be cheering you on, and hope to have a season where you do finish in that chase and get that win.
Absolutely.
And if we get that win, we'll I'll be on the next week.
Yes, you will. Thank you, and we would love to talk to you about it, because oh my God, how exciting would that be?
You know, it's only a matter of time, so we expect it.
Mm-hmm.
I know. All right. I know you look to the super speedways and the road courses, but I wouldn't count Michael out at Bristol or Martinsville or Richmond. He's a good short track driver too.
Yeah. Yeah. Short tracks is sort of that. It's the next, you're absolutely right, buddy. It's the next tier of racing
equalizer
that we want to have. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's the next equalizer on that. We've got the equipment and the experience to be able to compete there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They
and you have Todd Perreault. He's really, really, really good. He knows what he's doing. So that's what I love looking at that whole, the whole package now is something that y'all should be proud of.
Well, thank you. We are. We're working. This team works really hard at their jobs on Sundays and all throughout the week, really, to get there on Sunday. So we're really proud of them.
Exactly. And welcome to the charter system. Wow. Yay. Best news ever. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Todd. We'll be talking to you again.
All right. Thank you all.
We hope you've enjoyed hanging out in the Happy Hour Garage. Thanks for tuning in. Please join Shannon and Maureen next week for another episode of NASCAR News, interviews, and stories. Check out our website at www.happyhourgarage.com for our previous shows and see what's coming up next.